With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Farmer confidence weakened sharply at the start of 2026 as economic pressure intensified across U.S. ag. That's according to the January Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer. Now the index fell 23 points from December to 113. It marks one of the steepest month-to-month declines in recent years. Analysis from Purdue Center for Commercial Ag shows that both current conditions and future expectations deteriorated. Now, nearly half of those surveyed said their farms were worse off than a year ago. 30% expect weaker financial performance in the year ahead. Investment intentions softening. Farm Capital Investment Index dropping to its lowest level since October of 2024. Only 4% planning to increase machinery purchases. What's the major concern? Exports. 16% of respondents expect U.S. ag exports to decline over the next 5 years. Soybean competitiveness versus Brazil cited as a major risk. 80% of corn and soybean producers expressed concern about Brazil's export advantage. Producers also signaling tighter cash flow. 21% expect larger operating loans this year, a growing share attributing that increase to unpaid debt carried forward from prior years. It's important to note that the survey took place right after the release of the WASDE report, where the corn crop found to be much bigger than any analyst had projected, a big fall in the markets after that. Federal guidance on the 45Z clean fuel production tax credit now more clearly steers biofuel incentives towards U.S. grown crops. It's strengthening demand signals for domestic ag while narrowing eligibility for imported alternatives. Updated Treasury proposals implement changes enacted in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act and clarify how the credit will function through 2029. Now, this revised guidance, published in the Federal Register, prioritizes North American feedstocks, including U.S. soybeans and canola, while limiting eligibility for fuels made from imported waste oils like used cooking oil. Now, industry groups say that change realigns biofuel policy with farm production rather than overseas sourcing. Key shift, the removal of indirect land use change penalties from carbon scoring. Now, that adjustment materially improves the economics for soy-based biofuels, effectively increasing the value of the credit and expanding eligibility across more oilseed pathways. Now, the update also underscores that 45Z works best along a strong renewable fuel standard. Without complementary blending targets, tax credit alone may not fully translate into sustained demand growth. So what's the takeaway? Clearer 45Z rules favor U.S. oil seeds, but waiting for the RFS volumes remains critical. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
Today, we are issuing guidance out of the Trump EPA to make abundantly clear that if you own your farm and other non-road diesel equipment, you have the right to fix it.
The administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, Lee Zeldin.
This might seem like a no-brainer, but ask any American farmer and they will tell you about the headaches and costly hassles that they have been forced to endure at the hands of equipment manufacturers. Unfortunately, equipment manufacturers have misused the Clean Air Act by falsely claiming that environmental laws prevented them from making essential repair tools or software available to all Americans. Because of this misinterpretation of the law, manufacturers have limited the ability of farmers and independent repair shops to repair equipment. Instead of a farmer being able to fix their own equipment in the field or bring it down the road to their local repair shop, farmers have been forced to rely solely on authorized dealers for essential repairs, which are not always close by. For farmers, timing is everything. When equipment breaks down during planting or harvesting, delays can result in thousands of dollars in lost productivity. Being forced to haul machinery to a certified dealership, pay higher prices for repairs, and wait in line, it's not just inconvenient. It can prove to be very economically damaging. This has also prompted many farmers to continue using older equipment that they can still repair themselves, despite newer machines being cleaner, safer, and more efficient. The Clean Air Act was written to ensure clean air for all Americans, not to lock farmers into expensive repairs. EPA is issuing guidance that stands up for America's farmers and small businesses while following the Clean Air Act exactly as it is written. Our guidance to manufacturers reaffirms that the Clean Air Act clearly states that farmers and equipment owners are allowed to temporarily override emission systems when it is for the purpose of repair, and as long as the repair returns the equipment to compliance. The guidance applies to non-road diesel engines equipped with advanced emission control technologies. This includes making repairs to diesel exhaust fluid, DEF, systems on non-road diesel engines. The agency is working to build upon the DEF guidance EPA issued this summer. It was announced alongside Secretary Rollins and Administrator Loeffler while we were in Iowa, which urged engines and equipment manufacturers to revise the DEF system software in existing vehicles and equipment. In the meantime, today's right to repair guidance will allow farmers to be able to fix broken DEF systems right there at home or in the fields, saving them time and money. There will be no more misinterpretations or claiming of not knowing the rules by manufacturers. Today's right to repair guidance does not weaken environmental or emission standards. It does not change the law or the Clean Air Act, and it does not reduce compliance obligations. What it does do is stop the law from being misused to block common sense repairs. EPA's guidance is expanding consumer choice and encouraging the use of newer farm equipment, all of which is excellent for ensuring clean air for all Americans. This is about fairness, competition, and independence.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Everybody wants to know, where are these beef on dairy kids?
Oklahoma State livestock economist Dr. Darrell Peel talking about the latest semi-annual cattle inventory report.
Frankly, they're in here, right? So we, when we look at the total calf crop, that includes beef and dairy. So those calves are in there. When we look at the cattle on feed numbers, those calves are in there. When we look at the inventory breakdown in this report, of course, includes steers over 500 pounds, other heifers, non-replacement heifers over 500 pounds, and calves under 500 pounds. And so those beef on dairy calves are included wherever they land in that set of inventory categories that, you know, some of those are cattle that are already in feedlots and the others are the ones we use to calculate our estimated feeder supply. But the point is those numbers already include the dairy side as well. So there's no additional cattle anywhere that we're looking for beyond what's in this report. Some of the major beef cow states, you know, Texas and Oklahoma were up slightly on their beef cow numbers. In contrast, Missouri and Kansas were both down slightly. And actually, I think Nebraska was down just a little bit as well. So, you know, all of those play into why that overall beef cow herd was down about 1%. And so, you know, that could be a function of drought conditions regionally in those states. Or it may be other factors that are playing into those decisions as well. But what it's, you know, again, it clearly says we've got a kind of a mixed picture around the country in terms of, and certainly not a broad-based initiative, if you will, on the part of the beef industry to all be on the same page doing the same thing. This report doesn't surprise me, although there's a couple of things that are require a little more thought. But at the same time, what it really does is it says we're going to continue on the path we've been on in terms of very tight cattle numbers. Prices we've got make sense relative to these numbers, and our expectations going forward are for even higher prices. And from a consumer standpoint, unfortunately, it means that beef production is going to continue to fall and higher beef prices are ahead. I've traveled some in Oklahoma recently, and I was actually a bit surprised at the number of cattle I did see out on winter wheat. I'm sure it's down relative to some years, but I was a little surprised at how many I did see. And to that end, in this annual inventory report, one of the things we get is a three-state total of cattle grazing small grains pastures. So it's Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. And that number was actually up this year compared to last year. On the face of it, that would be a little bit surprising to me, but maybe not. And of course, we don't know what those cattle are. So not all of them, you know, some of those may be heifers that are destined to be replacement heifers because at that stage of growth, they look a lot like stocker cattle. We just don't know whether they're going to head towards a feedlot or head into a pasture with a bull when it's all said and done. So there are a few more cattle than I was really expecting to see. I wouldn't think the market would have a huge reaction to this. I guess if I see anything in this, you know, it's going to depend on who looks at it, I suppose. But I would take this report as slightly bullish myself. On the other hand, some people may zero in on that 0.9% increase in replacement heifers and say, oh, boy, we're off to the races with herd rebuilding. I don't think that's correct, but I could see that happening. So I think we have to kind of wait and see. Broad-based, how the market reacts to this whole set of numbers and how it all plays out when we sort of sum it all up together.
Oklahoma State livestock economist Dr. Darrell Peel. It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to ag chemical application, make sure your equipment delivers. For years, growers and custom commercial applicators alike have depended on Wiley sprayers and Case IH application equipment from Wiley Implement and Spray Center. Wiley offers new and used self-propelled sprayers, as well as our own line of pull-type sprayers for any size operation. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
We have been working on today's guidance now for a while because we know how much it means for the everyday farmer.
On a new clarification for the right to repair, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins.
The right to repair isn't just a slogan. It's a common sense extension of the God-given right to private property, which has been recognized and vigorously protected since the founding of our country 250 years ago. Every single day, our farmers feed us, they fuel us, they clothe us, and by the sweat of their brow and with the help of mechanical equipment that has become practically indispensable in the modern day. But when that equipment breaks down and remains out of operation, it means crops aren't planted or harvested, mouths aren't fed, and America's economic growth and national security are put at risk. Farmers shouldn't be forced to haul their equipment to specialized and costly repair shops when they could be making those repairs on their own. An overwhelming majority of farmers, north of 95%, agree with that statement. That's why today the Trump administration is giving farmers not just what they want, but what they deserve and what they need. By clarifying that manufacturers can no longer use the Clean Air Act to justify limiting access to repair tools or software, we are reaffirming the lawful right of our great American farmers and equipment owners to repair their own farm equipment. After today, it will be easier than ever to make a repair without negative impacts on productivity or safety. Like so many of President Trump's victories over the past year, this is about cutting red tape, expanding consumer choice, and lowering cost. Since 2020, capital expenditures on vehicles and machineries have increased over 45%. So since we left the first term, since 2020, I want to repeat this, capital expenditures on vehicles and machinery have increased over 45%. We talk about the cost of inputs in the last administration skyrocketing. This has also been a significant driver for our farmers. And this isn't just because farmers are buying more equipment, since we all know the entire farm economy plummeted in the last 4 years under the previous administration, but the total number of farmers has fallen as well. The Biden administration's policies drove up inflation and ignored the needs of our farmers and ranchers, and President Trump is determined to turn things around in both the short term and the long term in order to give our farmers the ag markets and the farm economy that they deserve. Today's new guidance is a critical part of that solution. In America, the timely, affordable maintenance of agricultural equipment should not be a luxury. It should be a given. There is no better advocate for the needs of the American farmer than our boss, President Trump. And this new guidance is proof that we are not slowing down. We will continue fighting every hour of every day to put farmers first and to make agriculture great again in this country.
The administrator of the Small Business Administration, Kelly Loeffler.
Important to know that in the aggregate, this is about a $48 billion savings. And how do we get that number? It's farm by farm. It's about $33,000 per repair. You add in the time that is spent. The loss of yield could be up to $3,000, $4,000 of yield for the average farm. That's time spent having to leave the field, go for the repair, maybe miss a window of dry weather to harvest that crop, get back in the field while you've had delays in finding parts and labor. So this is a huge relief, and it should reduce operating costs on the farm by 10% annually, which is a staggering number when you think about the costs that farmers absorb that Brooke just walked through. This is the massive and rising input costs that are not limited to fuel and fertilizer, but it's equipment as well. So this could potentially reach an 80% annual reduction in the cost of repairs.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
I guess I would say it wasn't a big surprise. It generally came in pretty much as expected.
Dr. Daryl Peel, Oklahoma State Livestock Economist.
That said, if anything, it basically says that we have continued to extend the story we've been telling for about 3 or 4 years now, in that the industry technically got a little bit smaller again in 2025. So the January 1 all cattle inventory comes in. It's actually, it rounds to 100% of last year. It's fractionally smaller. But the beef cow herd, which is one place where we're really focused, came in smaller than last year. That's a little bit of a surprise to me. I thought it might actually be fractionally higher. I'm not overly surprised that it's a little smaller. But what it says now is that 2025 wasn't the cyclical low. 2026 might be. But now we're going to have to wait till next year before we could confirm that. So we're going to continue to move, move forward, trying to figure out where the bottom is in this cattle cycle. The story going forward is we have to rebuild this herd. We have to have replacement heifers to do that. The replacement heifers came in about 0.9% higher than last year, which is up. So you can take that as a positive that maybe we are beginning a little bit of heifer retention, but that's nowhere near the kind of number that would suggest we've got any growth in the immediate future. So typically when we're in the, when we're actively involved in herd rebuilding, that heifer replacement number for 2 or 3 years will go up 5-6% year over year. So 0.9%, maybe just enough to give us enough replacement heifers to replace the cull cows that we need to cull out of the existing beef cow herd. No growth in 2026, and frankly, very little potential for growth and through 2027 at least at this point. The July report had a projection for the 2025 calf crop at 33.1 million head. And if you look back in history, that would have been the smallest calf crop since 1941. This is the total calf crop, so it includes both beef and dairy animals. The January report now comes in with the calf crop even smaller than that, a little bit smaller yet, 32.9 million head. So again, you know, the industry continues to have very, very tight cattle supplies going forward. We're going to continue to support these prices. Our projections or our feelings all along that we had higher prices yet ahead of us. You know, the dairy cow herd is actually a little bit bigger. It's up about 2%, and it's the biggest herd, dairy cow herd, in, I don't know, 20-something years. I forget the exact number. But the dairy cow herd doesn't fluctuate near like the beef cow herd. So there's no cycle, if you will, no cattle cycle on the dairy side. It's up a couple of 100,000 head, and so that does add a few more. The dairy replacement heifers were just about even with a year ago. So no major changes there, maybe a few more dairy cows. That may mean we're going to cull a few more dairy cows. Beef cow culling actually should probably stabilize, or it may actually increase a little bit this year. You know, beef cow culling has been down the last 3 years, and that means we've been not culling those cows. They've been getting older, so sooner or later we're going to have to cull some of those older cows. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see a little bit of increase in cow slaughter in the coming year relative to what we had last year. It won't vastly change the story in terms of beef production or anything like that, but it may moderate it slightly.
Talking about the recent cattle inventory report, it's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
For cattle producer audiences, we segment and separate those audiences out. Our campaigns are national in scope, and I think these maps are a good demonstration that show the where the dairy audiences and beef audiences live. That shows that really our strategic approach covers the majority of the country.
We often think of cotton as being fiber, but forget the importance of cottonseed. Lynn Kilroy with Cotton Incorporated.
That said, they have a regional effort and are also segmented separately with how we communicate out and market to each of the audiences, dairy and beef separately. As many of you know, the U.S. dairy industry has undergone significant consolidation over the past two decades, but the number of dairy cows and milk production has been stable. Because whole cottonseed boosts milk production by providing a dense source of energy, of protein, and of fiber, it supports the rumen health and increases milk yield and milk fat. It's very important to continue the marketing of whole cottonseed to this audience and continue to market to stay in the ration. On the beef side, there's also been consolidation. We're seeing fewer, larger, efficiency-driven operations, making whole cottonseed an important feed ingredient. It is cost effective, and we demonstrate that. It is high with energy, fat, fiber, and protein. And on the beef side, it especially supports weight gain, rumen health, and finishing performance for cow-calf and feedlot systems. Again, if we're speaking directly to dairy and beef nutritionists and producers, for marketing purposes, we've done a deep dive to understand the psychographic profile of each of these audiences. We've learned what media publications they read, we're studying what industry events they attend, and we understand more about where they're showing up and finding their information so we can market to them effectively. Also, and importantly, and we've heard this feedback, while the producer is still skewing older, that next generation of dairy and beef producer is coming along. And so we're marketing to them as well, and we'll get into that in a little bit. We also look at the nutrition audience very carefully. We're looking at that nutritionist audience carefully as well, understanding that she's often female. They're very educated. They're reading those scientific journals. And so we're meeting them where they're learning their information. This is a customer journey map that we've developed for cottonseed. We've got the 60 years of expertise on the fiber marketing side, understanding that supply chain journey on fiber. When it comes to cottonseed, it's important for us to employ the same type of approach to understand the need and where they are learning the information so we can deliver a message that's meaningful to this customer at a time that's relevant and critical, whether it's in the awareness stage, the ration evaluation stage, or the decision-making stage. We're understanding how to reach that audience at each point along the way. We're also keeping our marketing activities consistent throughout the year. We've got an emphasis ahead of and during harvest. While cotton is being planted, or while cotton is being planted, harvested, and ginned, producers and nutritionists are making summer feed program decisions during the late spring. They're watching the volatility of feedstuffs based on what growing conditions are occurring, and we're keeping that in mind and aligning that with our marketing activities throughout the year.
Highlighting the importance of whole cottonseed to the cotton industry. To learn more, she says,
I really encourage you, if you haven't checked it out, to check out wholecottonseed.com.
Lynn Kilroy, Cotton Incorporated. It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.